This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 22nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the microscope that's been placed on Barack Obama's campaign for president is now focusing on his church. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, a look at today's news. An Illinois Senate panel is scheduled to debate rolling back electric rates for 1 year for Ameren and Commonwealth Edison customers. Amanda Vinicky has a preview.
Democrat Gary Forby of Benton is the sponsor. Forby says his intent is to provide customers with short-term relief until a long-term solution is reached. And he says a rate freeze will put enough pressure on utility companies that they will be forced to compromise.
It's all about leverage. Sooner or later, you know, we got to come to the table.
The measure applied only to Ameren initially. The outcry over increased power rates has been loudest in Ameren's downstate service area because that's where rates went up the most. But Forby says lawmakers from northern Illinois also want ComEd's rates brought down and frozen. Both Ameren and ComEd say they cannot afford to charge customers less for power and say any such requirement would lead to bankruptcy. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The Illinois House has already approved a measure that would hold rates steady for 3 years. Forby says Illinois can't freeze rates forever, so the Senate has been holding talks with the companies in an attempt to find another solution. While those talks will continue, Forby says it's come to the point that action must be taken. What's billed as the world's cleanest burning coal-fired power plant could wind up being built in Illinois. A decision won't come until later this year, but Illinois lawmakers want to give the future gen plant every consideration, even assuming liability if something goes wrong. Dale Ryder is a Republican senator representing the towns of Tuscola and Mattoon, which are finalists for future gen. He says the state must do what it can to attract the facility.
It makes Illinois a leader in taking the next step in the way that we generate power.
Future Gen will burn coal and turn it into energy. It won't have emissions, as carbon dioxide will instead be pumped thousands of feet into the earth, where scientists say it can be safely stored. Two Texas cities are also finalists, and that state has already agreed to indemnify the project. Governor Blagojevich's plan to bring billions of dollars more into state coffers relies heavily on a new tax. According to Rod Blagojevich, the gross receipts tax is the way to make big business pay its fair share and at the same time allow Illinois to invest more in schools and expand health coverage. But the governor is finding little or no support among other statewide Democratic officeholders. That includes Comptroller Dan Hines, who says as designed, it's, in his words, a bit much.
When you look at other states that have imposed a gross receipts tax, it's ordinarily a way to replace or supplant some other tax. This would be added on top of a property tax system, a corporate income tax system, a state income tax system, as well as a sales tax.
Hines says the governor's claims that the current tax structure is too lenient on business are exaggerated. He also says the bill won't support other aspects of the governor's proposed budget unless something's done to address a backlog of unpaid Medicaid bills. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn has also come out against the gross receipts tax, and Treasurer Alexi Giannoulia says he's hearing from many corners that the tax will force small businesses to close down. He says he wants to see more numbers. There's also skepticism among many Democrats in the legislature, with some saying it won't pass in its current form. Another $700,000 is coming to Champaign-Urbana's mass transit district this year because of a change in dividing up federal funding. In fact, the MTD will get more money over the next 5 years. Assistant Managing Director Tom Costello says that's because the MTD and 13 other small transit systems around the country take on a much higher proportion of passengers for the size of their service areas. Costello says a new federal formula led to that extra money.
We worked very hard to get this legislation passed to acknowledge the kinds of needs that communities have that have lots of transit use, but are not particularly large.
Many of the transit districts getting the extra funding are in university towns or high-density areas. Costello says the additional money will go into the fund the MTD uses to replace buses. Each bus runs about $300,000. Carle Foundation Hospital is now playing a role in consumer product recalls brought on by a series of injuries or illnesses. An employee provided by the Consumer Product Safety Commission now looks at the Urbana Hospital's emergency department records and notes the specific cause in each case. Carle's Vice President of Clinical Operations, Lynn Barnes, says that information is added to a database run by the federal agency, which looks for similar cases.
It looks for trends, looks for matches. you know, like, wow, you know, this tricycle from this product caused injuries in, you know, 30 places across the United States. You know, and then they work with the companies to let them know of these things and then, of course, get the word out, you know, to the public with regard to what's going on.
Carl began its collaboration with the CPSC last November. Barnes says the hospital has already provided information on more than 3,000 patients. The hospital is one of 97 around the country that report to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. They're based on location, demographics, and the number of trauma calls. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Perhaps you've heard about his investments or his unpaid parking tickets or his struggle to quit smoking. No doubt about it, Illinois U.S. Senator Barack Obama's presidential campaign has him under the microscope. One part of Obama's life under high magnification now is his Chicago church. Locally, the church is considered mainstream, but recently it's been called cultish, separatist, and even been compared to the Branch Davidians. Illinois Public Radio's Ben Calhoun reports on what's...
Senator Barack Obama's long been open about his religious faith. The title of his second book came from a sermon his pastor gave. He's been one of several Democrats saying religious issues should not be claimed just by Republicans and the political right. Obama's made religious faith part of his image.
The book of Micah, chapter 6, yes, verse 8, it is written, right, "What doth the Lord require of thee?"
They're both men of God.
All praise and honor to God for bringing us together here today.
Obama joined Trinity United Church of Christ in his 20s, a self-described spiritual awakening. Trinity is an 8,000-member congregation on Chicago's south side with a megachurch-style building on 95th Street. The Reverend Jeremiah Wright is the pastor, and Obama calls Wright his spiritual mentor. In the past, religious faith has been an asset for Obama, but under the sometimes thorough, sometimes cantankerous media attention of the presidential race, things have gotten complicated.
So as the election season kicks into high gear,
the story really got going last month. Hannity and Combs, the conservative cop, liberal cop talk show on Fox News, picked up the story on February 28th. The topic was Jeremiah Wright and Trinity Church.
That's the one that Senator Barack Obama calls home.
And the guest was conservative columnist Eric Rush. About a week earlier, Rush wrote a column criticizing the ideas of black empowerment that the church fuses with Christianity. Rush took the church's stated values, removed the word black, and inserted the word white. So in his column, black community read as white community.
Suddenly I was looking at this really scary doctrine.
Host Sean Hannity started by doing the same thing. Then he and Rush went on to characterize Trinity United.
Afrocentric.
They used a wide range of terms.
Separatist, and in some cases even drawing comparisons to a cult.
Rush's take was the most sensational.
Do they consider themselves Americans? Do they consider themselves Christians? Are they worshiping Christ? Are they worshiping African things, black?
Rush said he had never been to Trinity, that he wrote his column by looking at the church's webpage. Then he referred to the Christian church as a coven. The next day, the story continued on Hannity and Combs.
Joining us now for a response to these claims from Trinity United is the Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright.
Wright argued the church's ideology was being taken out of context, but the show offered little resolution, especially for people who can only listen to one person at a time.
The black community, black
keyword
family, black
seems.
Work ethic,
keyword
black community.
It seems to an arrogant, ignorant person.
The controversy continued to spiral. About a week later, the New York Times ran a story about how Wright was cut from Obama's February presidential campaign announcement. The campaign claimed it was trying to protect the church, but the Times reported that Obama told Wright it was because the campaign now saw the church as a liability. The paper repeated the labels other media had applied, but the subtext of the article was that Obama had strained his relationship with his pastor. In the week since then, the campaign, Trinity, and Wright have clamped down on communication with the media. The only new response came in a statement Wright recorded for his congregation.
Finally, most importantly, I need to say this to you.
Wright was out of town the weekend after the New York Times story ran, so he recorded his version of the facts for the Sunday worship services.
I got duped. I got duped. That's my mistake. I got tricked by a lying reporter from the New York Times.
Wright said his interview with the Times was about his long-standing relationship with Obama and Obama's deep appreciation for religious faith.
He's a man of principle. He is a husband. He is a father. He is a Christian.
A small part of the Times interview, Wright says 10 minutes, was about his getting cut from Obama's campaign announcement.
Guess what the sister girlfriend did? She took the 10 minutes, threw the 2 hours and 20 minutes down the toilet, and made a New York Times editorial on Barack disinviting his pastor. The press is not to be trusted. The press will look you right in the face, tell you a lie, and then print what they want to print. She left off the whole piece about our talking for an hour, 10, 15 minutes after the incident, and his saying, yes, I made a mistake. I should not have listened to the bad advice I was given.
Wright insists his relationship with Obama hasn't buckled.
Ain't no problem with us.
But even if there's no problem, the door's been open to questions about Obama's relationship with Wright, about Wright's politics and Trinity's ideology.
The idea of it being radical or separatist is bizarre.
Melissa Harris-Lacewell is a professor of politics and African-American studies at Princeton. She's followed Obama's career, and she was also a regular at Trinity for years. Harris-Lacewell says for a black Christian church, Trinity is completely mainstream.
People sort of driving into 95th Street in their Lexus and Volvo and then driving out again. Really not radical folks. People who own, 3 and 4 bedroom homes with a half acre of yard around it. Hardly the sort of thing that leads to armed insurrection.
She says the church might be more politically active than other churches.
But in a very mainstream way, through things like voting and opening stores and restaurants, all pretty normative middle-class values.
But Harris-Lacewell says the way this whole story has unfolded in the media isn't just about a church or an ideology or even just Obama. She says it's about fundamental gaps in American life.
What has remained highly segregated for the vast majority of Americans has been our worship experiences.
She says black Christianity has been challenged by different questions than white Christianity.
How can we explain Jim Crow? How can we explain lynching?
And because of all of this, Harris-Lacewell says black and white religious traditions have evolved differently. She says in the coverage of Obama and his church, what we're seeing are those religious traditions colliding. Harris-Lacewell says, unfortunately, the tendency is for bigger issues like that to get left out because they're messier.
Democracy is not meant to be polite. It's meant to be hard. And I think that these sets of sort of narrow ways that we continue to talk about race and religion and our desire not to talk about them and to smuff them down and shove them in the corner and say that they are not polite, they really speak to a kind of illness or lack of health and robustness of our democracy. We've got to be able to have the conversations. We can't be afraid of them.
Harris-Lacewell says that means conversations about how much white America and black America understand each other and the differences between white and black Christianity, about how those divisions can shape our politics. She says that's what's really at stake here, and those are the conversations worth having. I'm Ben Calhoun.
After some pre-dawn severe weather in Illinois, east central Illinois, we look forward to more showers and thunderstorms over the next couple days. In fact, with above normal temperatures still. The forecast for today for meteorologist Ed Kieser in northern Illinois, mostly cloudy and cooler with a few scattered showers. Elsewhere, cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms continuing and highs ranging from 54 in northwest Illinois to 77 in the far south. Tonight, in the north, cloudy scattered showers. In central sections, cloudy rain and thunderstorms. And in the south, partly to mostly cloudy and mild scattered thunderstorms. Lows tonight ranging from 35 degrees in northwest Illinois to 57 far south. For tomorrow, clouds in the north again with scattered showers. In central and southern sections, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. And highs again ranging from 45 near Lake Michigan to 75 degrees in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 22nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.